I'm Brittany. You probably can't find me on anything, even though I do have Wes trying to convince me to come back to Twitter potentially one day. Look, now I might have more free time a little bit now that we are on a stay-at-home order. But my some of my independent thoughts. It's sad to me that you gotta kind of have to do a stay-at-home order. I mean, even though you said it's not always being necessarily enforced, but it's like if you know something's going on, there's a recommendation to like just stay home. I mean, stay home. At first, I know it's hard. At first, I know that, and I'm a person that can call myself a, I guess you want to say, a conspiracy theorist at times, but I know that it may be hard to be at home, and it's people weren't stocked up and things like that, and going for essentials makes sense. Still confused about the tissue, but. Besides the tissue,
No toilet paper. It ain't
besides no Kleenex. And I'm okay. So, first off, I got a baby. I have a little toddler. She's being potty trained. And then I have a baby on the way, and there's no wipes. Like, you have to scramble to find wipes, and there are hardly any wipes. So, if I did happen to see some at a store, I would leave some, I would grab a decent amount, but I will leave some for people too because I'm like, I'm not the only one that needs wipes. But I heard people are using them. Of course, they're going to use them for a tissue replacement if they run out. But then some people are making their own disinfectant wipes apparently, like they're taking like Listerine or, some other form of a disinfectant that may not be in like in a can or something and making their own wipes out of them. I'm like, yo, people are having babies. And I will subscribe to a thing on Amazon. And guess what? That order isn't coming through. They don't know when I'm going to get my wipes.
So there's a lot of factors at play. But the companies say that they swear they're still making everything at the same pace. It's that people are hyper consuming for no real reason.
Absolutely. I can see that. I can see that because there are things missing at the store that would never be missing any other time. And like for instance, I live not too far from a grocery store. People, I'm in there often. The parking lot is always full. So the thing is, it's a lot of these things aren't always ever missing, and it's the same amount of people in the parking lot now with the crisis. Matter of fact, a little bit less than it is when it's and I go like first thing in the morning. I'm going at different times, so I'm not going so much now from being pregnant, but like my mom or husband or somebody will go. But you what's the word I'm looking for? Like the parking lot is a little less empty. Like I pass the parking lot and that thing is banging every single day. It's definitely hyper consumption for sure. Like it is.
Yeah, I mean, we got nothing else to do. You got to buy something. You got to be out. I don't know how much Chicago news you get outside of me, but
I know they're roasting y'all mirror right now, baby.
well,
Oh no.
even before social media, no publicity is bad publicity, but now post social media, literally no publicity is bad publicity. Like,
Right.
so she completely, I don't know who her PR team is or whatever.
Oh.
She completely flipped it. Now she's doing public
She
service.
did?
Oh my God, she's a
Oh,
whole.
is that why I saw a picture of her like at this at a school with some gloves feeding
Yeah,
somebody at lunch or
oh,
something?
it's a video. It's a whole like
Look at
2 minute joint with her in different scenarios and different situations and all the things you could be doing while you're sitting at home.
That's
Reality
interesting.
calls
How's
it.
it?
It's crazy.
How was it? It is. How was it going there then? I know that you all went under like a order, I think right before we did, not even statewide, but like Chicago this itself, right? And then it went to the state, or
No,
am I
no,
confusing it?
no,
It was
dude.
opposite.
We don't. This is, yeah. You forgot what the North is like. Like,
I've been away too long.
where people believe in science, the leaders decided that the governor was like, "Well, the president ain't doing that. I guess I'm next in charge for my region." So the executive branch here was like, "Yeah, shut it down," and
Yeah.
then it just, a bunch of stores had to comply. What does it mean? It means you can be open from this time to this time. These are the stores that can be open. These are the stores that can't be open. Designating who wasn't essential. It's a lot of, this is what, another thing about this, a lot of egos getting checked.
Oh, yeah.
You thought you was essential, huh, buddy? Nah, you working from home, homie. If you working.
That was my next statement. I said, you better be glad you're able to work from home if that,
Man.
because they're getting folks out of there. And it's, hold on, and is it me like 2 weeks and that many job losses over 2 weeks,
Yeah.
like over a 2 week span. Like, I think it's just mind blowing to me that you, I don't know. I'm always just thinking through all the, like, all the loss. You see the unemployment rate and how many people are filing for unemployment, like historical numbers, of course. But I'm like, it's what no company didn't have certain reserves or want to kind of wait it out a
No.
little bit. I know everybody can't work from home. I know everybody can't work from home,
It's
so I
all
get that sometimes, but
this
I
is
don't know. I'm just so, it's so weird to me.
this is I so I obviously I don't like what's going on. I don't want anybody to, be sick or die or any of this.
At all,
But
at all.
part of me really enjoys watching this structure crumble because it's fake. The whole thing is it's fake. For the longest time, people who like, yo, money is fake, your jobs are fake. I was reading
But it is.
Yeah, it was a tweet the other day because the kids are confused, especially if you're not an indoctrinated child yet. So you're like 5, you ain't been to school, you're 5 or younger, and sitting. So I guess the guy was, they social distancing, they stay in the house. He been working from home, and his kid, they've been doing arts and crafts and stuff. But it was Monday, and Monday he get up, he start getting ready, and getting ready to start doing work and stuff, and the kid came in there and was like, "Oh, come on, let's do our thing." He was like, "No, I gotta go to work." And the kid was like, "Hell no! Like, we've been doing our this, what we doing? Like, what you talking about?
Me on the arts and crafts with it. What you
Right?
mean?
Like, yeah, what else is there to do?" And
Right.
just typical 5-year-old, like, this is how we getting down fashion. And he was like, "No, I have to go to work. I told you I have to go to work because it's Monday." And the baby was like, "Monday's not real." And stormed out.
Wow.
And he was like, "I just been sitting
Man.
here ever since, like a
Man, like,
child."
is Monday real?
And Monday's not real.
Not real.
Monday's not real. Monday's not
These
real.
all these constructs we have in place, and it's really, like you said, it's crumbling. I like that, and I like that too, because even the whole work from home debacle, so many companies are struggling. Not struggling because they don't have the capacity or technology capabilities or any of that stuff. The need to micromanage
Yep.
and the need to feel like they're, I guess they feel like their grip and control is being taken away from them. I mean, I keep hearing countless stories from different people from various companies. I mean, in different fields too, which is so funny to me. If they didn't already have like this progress, it shouldn't even be called progressive, but whatever you want to call it, progressive, model in which people could be human and work from home sometimes or all the time. Anyway, but but with it, it's so interesting to me because so many people are like freaking out. They're telling me like their bosses are freaking out or leaders above their bosses or whoever. Just that there is like they are acting like this is a life and death situation to be able to say you can work from home, even though you've already issued people laptops. You've already
Yeah.
issued people, the things that they can do to function and go elsewhere and go outside of the office. And I get that sometimes, like for security reasons, they want you to be on a network and things like that. Like I'm not naive to think that like, oh, there are certain reasons why being in the office is better. But I think that I'm enjoying seeing this shift for a lot of people in a lot of jobs that I always figured could be a work from home job anyway. So I'm kind of glad it's happening, even though I know people are losing their minds because their kids are home and they
Yeah.
don't know what to do and how to, handle their kids and all of that. But I feel like it's just forcing us to look at things differently because, I mean, I just think about how much time personally, like I even though I'm my daughter's too, but I'm not being in a probably an effective homeschooler. I'm trying to take breaks and do things with her and, and short things. Now she has the attention span of a 2-year-old, so
Yeah.
it's a little bit different than a bigger kid. But it's eye-opening, but I'm kind of enjoying it. Like I don't want the sick part. I wish this other part didn't happen. But the silver lining, if there is one, that's coming from having people to sit at home with their family if they have it.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for people who are lonely or isolated because then that's another part, that's another side of the thing that people don't talk about either, some people may talk about, but I should say that probably should be discussed as well too, because of course, you always got both sides of the coin. But I think that it's forcing people to sit back and realize all these fairy tale ass things we're doing. Like, we're too busy. We're as a society,
Oh,
we're on the go. And if you're not on the go, you feel like something's wrong because you're not on the go. And some people, I honestly think this, I think that some people don't know what to do with their kids because they never had their kids.
they've
And
never
not even
have.
because they're not trying to, but you get out of school. So they go to school or daycare that you're already paying a mortgage for if you go to child goes to daycare.
Yep.
Then you pick them from daycare. By the time you get home, it's time to hurry up and cook, do this, do that, put the kids to sleep. Because if they have school and they have to get up early, they need a certain amount of sleep. So you need to get them to bed early. And then on the weekends, it's here's this play date, here's this soccer practice, here's this, here's that. It's like it's always some form of an activity
Yep.
and something that, and not saying that these things can't enrich a person's experience and kids and expose them to knowledge and stuff like that, but it's almost to an expensive where now we realize, like, do you even have a real relationship with the
You
kids
don't even
sometimes?
know your
And it's
own
not,
kids, and this is how you can see. This is how kids be. Well, it don't be our kids, but you know, kids be in the garage building bombs, and the parents don't be knowing because you don't even know your kids. Like, I can't tell my whole timeline when this first started. The first like 2 days, my whole timeline was one way. Parents complaining about like, damn, this is hard. What you
When they going back?
mean? Yeah. Teachers don't, everybody came to the same conclusion. Teachers don't get paid enough. Okay, glad we got that out the way.
Like I said, and you'll realize too that it may not be, you're gonna realize if either your kid is a problem or the teacher is the
A
problem
lot of people will, like, they had to come to the harsh realization that the teacher wasn't lying, man. The teacher, it was your kid.
Little Johnny was actually
Yeah,
passing.
your kid is a blockhead, and you know, or don't listen, and they put on a different act when you're not around. Oh my God. Everybody getting that. So that was like phase one. And now, but the cool thing, I want to say, like 2, 3 weeks in phase two, a lot of people are learning their families. They really like sitting and like, wow, you know, I'm seeing more bonding.
My wife's favorite color is this.
Yeah, you
We're
know,
like, but no, but seriously, they are. It is.
bonding. Like, man, you know, my kids are smart. They like, you know, whatever. I didn't. We never tried this before, and now we're doing it. Oh, they're, you know, my daughter's good at baseball. We just go in the backyard, and man, her hand-eye coordination is better than my son's. We never would have even, you know. But
Probably paid attention to them.
yeah. So it's a lot of that. It's a lot of that going on, which is unique. But I guess.
Let's get angry again. We kind of talked about that during this podcast, but let's get angry again with some action. You know, some actual action that is constructive and you know, helps the greater mankind.
I guess the thing I've been thinking about is twofold. So it's funny how everybody was anti-Bernie Sanders, but literally everything he said was correct. And
Listen.
now everybody has to understand it the hard way. Like, everybody got to learn the hard way. Damn. You know, I guess we needed Medicare for all, because if your healthcare is tied to your job and you lose your job.
What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, during a pandemic.
Because you can't, everybody doesn't qualify for Medicaid.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't qualify for Medicare, and or, but now you're burdening another system
Yep.
that may not have capacity, or now things are going to be delayed in the time. Like, so for instance, I mean, with I'll just think about Medicaid. Now that all these folks are unemployed, for instance, their next step is probably going to be to apply for Medicaid or for SNAP benefits or for things like that that I can't even imagine trying. I remember I had to do unemployment one time when actually it was like, what, it was 2009 or 10. So of course the economy had crashed and I was working for a bank and they closed our center and it was like a call center and they closed our call center and sent it overseas.
Of course.
So they But I remember going through that whole process and how annoying. I was young. I was younger. I didn't have any real responsibilities in terms of, like, you know, kids and things like that. So I, while I didn't want my job because I was taking care of myself, I was still an adult. It was still, you know, a little stressful then. But I'm like, there wasn't a virus floating around that was, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a pandemic, I should say. I didn't have any other responsibility of kids. I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have any of that. So I can only imagine that you're trying to deal and cope with the fact that you probably barely want to go outside because you don't know what's going on. It's scary. There are new symptoms and new something every day that we're learning about. They have not mastered everything that is happening with the disease. So there's a lot of uncertainty and fear around that alone. That's just employed, unemployed, no matter what, right? Then you go, you ain't got no tissue at the store. I'm sorry, and I'm going to get hung up on this, but you don't have tissue, and everybody can't afford to buy things in bulk at all because people don't have the money to always buy things in bulk. Right. And especially if you never thought your whole normal was going to change, you know? Then you have to navigate some systems that aren't that clear and that aren't set up for the magnitude of people that are about to be trying to access
them. Right.
So we don't have enough hospital beds. I don't know, went to college, over 10 years ago for undergrad is when I graduated. So I thought about, like, dang, I'm getting old. But say, you know, 10 plus years ago, I remember that being an issue that had been a long time issue that they were saying, like, you know, there are enough hospitals for this in the state. We're still at right under 1 million or something. Like, it's not even quite 1 million, I believe, hospital beds. I mean, probably maybe closer to 700 or something. I mean, if people can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just the latest number I remember seeing, like, hospitals. And when I used to work for a hospital system, like, you have to go through a lot to even, you know, get the certificate. It's like a certificate of need process, a whole bunch of stuff you have to go through in order to even get a hospital approved to be built somewhere. You know, like, it could take years and years. For various reasons, competitors blocking you, you know, the town may not want you in that specific area, all that stuff plays are factors. But it's like, we knew and have been knowing that populations are growing. It's been warned, the World Health Organization, whoever else has been warning us, you know, essentially that disease and based on climate change and stuff like that, like, all these different things will take place or can take place eventually and can affect everyone. And it's going, and think about this too, it's affecting even our already most vulnerable people, our population, period. Yeah. They were already vulnerable in terms of not having enough money to get by, not having insurance or adequate insurance. I'm fully employed, bro. I'm fully employed, making a decent salary with insurance that I hate having to pay for, but you pay for it, right? But I'm happy that I can. Right. I still have to make a decision about, do I want to go to an appointment or not? Because I don't feel like paying, because I have the whole little HSA plan and stuff like that. I don't know if I feel like paying this whole co-insurance thing until I meet my deductible.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, do I really feel like paying $400 for them to go in there and tell me I just need to go back home and take time?
Right. Is this worth it? Is this going to be the one? Do I want to use it on this? Like, that is insanity. Right. And it may
not hurt me like it does somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that I know I'm making those decisions, it's always sobering to me to be like, what decisions are they making? What are their priorities? And it ain't always going to be your health.
Well, so there's a thing, I believe it's in Philly, where the hospital, it's a closed hospital and they want to reopen it and use it. Mm-hmm. But the guy who owns it is demanding $1 million and they told him
right now, like today,
he's like, man, if y'all can't come up with the rent, which is, I think he said $1 million a month or whatever it is, like, what? Yeah, like, it's a straight hostage situation. And, you know, because there's no, I guess, federal order that demands that he forfeit the property. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, so, but again, when you,
ethics.
Yeah, ethics. This is, and you know, billionaires can do that. They can always just, like, you know, you don't get to $1 billion by being wholesome. It doesn't happen. There's evil in there. Like, this is, I'm gonna try to find this right now. But yeah, no. So Buddy is like, you know, y'all want a hospital, huh? See y'all out there dying in the street, huh? it's gonna cost you.
Yeah, but you got $1 million.
Right. So I might want to go ahead.
I was saying, if he owns a hospital, I'm sure the man is already wealthy. I gotta look this up as soon as we got the phone. This is insane. I think I don't even know what to say right now, except
here it is. So Philadelphia hospital to stay closed. On request nearly $1 million a month. Hahnemann University Hospital could hold 500 patients with the coronavirus, but city officials said the cost was too steep. damn. So basically, we don't have the need to own it nor the resources to buy it, so we're done and we're moving on. That's from the mayor. And the dude who owns it is like, yeah, that's going to be $1 million a month.
He's not budgeting.
Yeah, and it's just vacant. It's just empty. Like, nah, you can't have it. So, but on the flip side, like, you know, there's always, you know, positive human interest mm-hmm. stories too, because now the event industry is completely shattered, shut down, and McCormick Place here is like, well, we just gonna turn it. Same thing with the United Center. They're just gonna turn it into like a makeshift hospital. So
Detroit is doing their it used to be called Cobo Hall when I was there, but I think it was TCF or TFC? Was it TCF?
Yeah. Bank?
Whatever the acronym is. They have the name right to this big, you know, like convention center, and they're turning it into a place to have hospital beds and stuff too. So I am glad to see some of that happening around. But see, and they, like I said, I mean, hopefully they're doing it because it's the right thing to do. But some people are smart. I mean, like I said, if you can flip it to, like I said, it's sad. I shouldn't be saying this. I don't want this to happen. But I feel like even if you're going to be selfish, like even if you want it just for you to be, you know, gratified in the end, or, you know, or for people to, not gratified, but for people to applaud you and all of a sudden after this blows over, you know, use your services more because they realize what you did in the end. Like, even think about it that way. I mean, I don't want people to think, I want people to do things genuinely because they should, maybe should do the right thing. But I am glad to see that there are people who genuinely care, and come in some companies and stuff that care. You hear about some of the CEOs, you know, not taking the salary or reducing theirs to like little to nothing to try their best not to, have to get rid of anyone or have too many layoffs. And in some companies, I mean, I'm sure this is hard, which is another lesson again, to try your best. And it's hard to say this again, because it depends on where you are and what you're doing and where you were before this happened and how vulnerable I'll say that you were before this happened. But if you are making a decent salary, try not to live to the very, you know, last dollar that you make. Because they're asking people to even just how much, like I listened to a podcast, the guy was like, his company was asking him, how much of a pay cut do y'all think y'all could take? Like, that's great. Like, who wants to sit there and be like,
I can only take
a 5%.
What's crazy about that is that there are certain people who are not taking a pay cut. Like, and that's, well, you know, and this is one, like, yeah, so there's some good things that are happening. There are companies who they're doing, you know, whatever they can. There's CEOs who are doing whatever they can. But we don't, this is like, again, all of it feels like a product of letting a very small few, a very small minority of people have way too much money. And because of that, we have all these broken systems, and we have all, because they're supposed to, they wouldn't have this much money if they were taxed properly, right? They're supposed to be paying. Mm-hmm. Man, there's a girl, I met a girl, she was 23 or 24. And she is from, she was from here, but she had been living in Arizona. Mm-hmm. She swore up and down Jeff Bezos pays taxes. And I was like, how you mm-hmm. you 23, you 24, like you got Google in your pocket. I thought you guys were smarter than that.
I mean, the headlines were, I mean, even if the headlines could be misleading, but even if she was just going off headlines alone,
but a lot of,
that's been a headline.
Yeah, your location is really important. She kept saying, like, in Arizona, it's about small business, and there's, and I'm like, I don't really care about you. Like, that's cool that that's what your influence is, but just look it up. And she was like, going on about small business and all. And I said, no, still, really, just stop for a second, pull out your phone, and Google this. I promise you, every result is going to be, no, no, no. She kept going on. So I finally just pulled out my phone, and I was like, while she talking, I just went ahead and Googled it. And she was talking something about 6% and how it works. And I was like, listen. And the first, like, 17 results were like, Jeff Bezos paid $0 in 2019. And so she's just looking at my phone, just holding my phone out. And she was like, and then immediately, and this is how I know people are sick and we've been brainwashed to accept this. She immediately pivoted without hesitation. She was, well, Amazon employs millions of people and they pay taxes. So therefore it's not. And then I was like, okay, now not only are you missing the point, you're also bad at math because those taxes don't add up to what he should be paying in taxes, even at a conservative amount that the money that he's putting back into the earth, that he's not putting back into the system. And she was just like, no, that can't be. So then we had to go over the math. Whole time there's like an older guy there and he's listening and he's just like, whoo boy, y'all in trouble if she's the future. I was like, nah, she ain't representative of everybody, but would be amazed at how easy it is for people to buy into this and believe it because they think they too could be rich one day if they follow the formula. They could be wealth. I don't even care about rich people. Wealth.
I mean, let's take, yes, wealth. Well, and let's take it back to the, I mean, even more basic, simpler form of this type of brainwashing and where we celebrate people just simply because they're wealthy and let them get passes. Person can shoot somebody in the street, can do whatever, do anything. What's the first thing that comes to people's mind? Oh, but they have money, though. Yep. Oh, but they're rich, though. But, like, we give people passes, and we feel like that's the most pinnacle achievement. Like, that's your zenith. That's where you reach the highest thing you can reach is to be able to have a certain sum of money. And that's where our as a, probably as a world, but certain parts of the world don't probably subscribe to this. But a lot of the world, at least our capitalistic nature here in America, is where that's more important than anything. Like, that's where your value lies and how much money, how many possessions, whatever the case you amass. And we're able to not bat an eye or turn our heads and look away if you do anything unethical because, well, it's all in the name of business. Yeah. It's all in the name of business. And if you want to protect your assets and you want to be rich, then that's what you have to do or that's okay. And I think that, again, because at first I'd be like, oh, I was going back and forth because I remember I was telling you a long time ago, I can't find them. Try to find it where somebody was, it might have been like an article or a research thing that sparked this girl's podcast. It was a question she brought up, but she asked, like, you know, do you think like if you're past a certain amount of money, are you, she didn't quite say sociopath, but almost like, you know, are you immoral or unethical or what did you have to do to get there? You know what I'm saying? Like, where did you have to do some unethical things to acquire this wealth? And I always thought about that. I'm like, you know, well, they create jobs. I said, but then no. Yeah. I mean, yes, they can create jobs, but what's the way, like, if I'm a billionaire and I created jobs for somebody and I'm paying them below minimum wage or whatever, or barely right above it, and that person still has to go get a second or third job to live, is that enough? I don't think so.
So this is why I say billionaires are sociopaths, right? Because to accrue a billion of anything, the hyper focus and disregard for anything that could potentially stand in your way, it has to be to a sociopathic level. I mean, it's got to be for real. Like, this is all that you care about. You only care about collecting this billion. And we would all, like, as a society, we would try to go get these people committed or diagnose them, have them. We would say these people are sick. Look, that guy, if it wasn't money, if it was anything else, that guy down the street is collecting a million cats. He is just a cat man. He got a million cats. That's too much. Girl. Okay. Why does he have a million cats right there? Oh, well, that's not enough. What do you mean it's not enough? He's trying to get a billion cats. Where the hell is he going to put a billion cats? We can't allow this. We got to go. They would go. You'd have every PETA. You'd have every organization, man, every pet control.
Humane society.
Everybody and their mama would be there like, no, you can't have a billion cats, dog. Nobody needs that many. We're gonna
right, you're doing a little too
much. How many cats can you comfortably feed? We're going to cap you at that. We're going to cap you at that because that makes logical sense. If it was...
How much space do you have? Yeah, how many? No. So many.
You know, cats. You can only have so many cats per square foot. Like, we're not going to allow you. Or cats need space, so it's going to be one cat per 20 square feet for you. And then, right. And then your house is only 800 square feet, so you get, what is that, 40 cats. Like, whatever. Like, they go, or 400, whatever. They're going to do it. They're just going to figure it out. Money's the only exception. Money's the only exception to that rule where we allow people to become these hyper-crazed individuals that will crush everything in their path to get more money. There's a, I think for years now, I've had it up here. It's my favorite episode of Batman, the animated series. And it's the birth of the Riddler, the origin of the Riddler. And he says, he's a video game programmer, and Edward Nygma, he's not even the Riddler yet, but he's a video game programmer. He's making whatever the new popular game is. It's like Call of Duty or whatever, and it sells out worldwide, and it's big. Anyway, his boss last name is Mockridge, and Mockridge is like the typical sleazebag CEO guy. He don't care. And so Nygma's got all these great ideas, and he's talking about the future, and I'm a programmer. I got this VR program. He's like, what's VR? Virtual reality. He's like, nah, man, virtual reality is the future. We're going to do this. And Mockridge is like, no, we're not. We're going to keep making these Call of Duties, homie. We got these coming out. He's like, no, you go. Yeah, I got it. I'm telling you, trust me. I'm the guy here. And he's like, nah, trust me. We going to it. Like, the machine is pumping. I'm counting dollars. You don't count. So, he come in one day and he's like, yeah, you know, he walk in there and his office door and all that been walled up. He can't even get in. He ain't got no. He's like, what is this? And what? So he finds out that he's been fired, and, you know, he confronts him about it. He's like, you can't fire me. Like, I created the hottest selling game and all this. And he was like, yeah, you also signed this contract that gives me exclusive rights to it. And we're going to be moving on without your ass. We don't really even need you. And he goes to the grandstanding of, you know, all the super villains, I guess, and he's doing his monologue. You'll never do this without me, and you know how smart I am. You'll never be able to match intellect with me, and you. How can you pull this off without me? And Mockridge stops him and he says, "Well, tell me something, Eddie. If you're so smart, why aren't you rich?" And it's the question that kind of sends him over the edge and breaks him. He's like, damn, I could do all these different things, but I ain't rich. So what is it about that? And that used to bother me. That used to bother me to no end. I used to think, like, because people all the time, man, Wes, you're so smart. You're really intelligent. You really, and you know, white people, he speaks so well. You get all those different things.
But you aren't wealthy, but, so
yeah. And they can, you know, it's always like, we want you on the team, but we don't want you running the team. That's all. I've run into that. I don't know, but the last 10 years, we want you on the team, but running the team, you might do too good a job. So we're not going to have that. That used to really bug me until I saw this, believe it or not, this is why Chris Rock is my favorite comedian, because I was watching, I think it was Never Scared where he said this. And I mean, that episode always stayed in my mind, and you can see it's on my Facebook, it's on my Twitter as my pin thing. If you're so smart, why aren't you rich? And during one of those stand-ups, I think it's Never Scared, but he says, behind every great fortune is a great crime. And he's talking about the rich people in America, the Kennedys, the Brockmans, and all the stuff that they did.
Good point, right.
Behind every great fortune is a great crime. And then one day it just hit me, those two things are completely connected. The question is, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich? But the answer is because behind every great fortune is a great crime. No billionaire, none. You're not going to find one who did everything legally and or ethically to accrue $1 billion. They did not do it. They starve some kids somewhere. They pay slave wages, if at all. They crush some other people. They call them competitors at the moment, but they destroyed some things to make way for their empire. They don't pay taxes, and it doesn't put back into the system. And then it, when people need hospitals, the hospital is closed, and then the guy who's trying to be a billionaire is just an asshole and won't let you into the hospital for less than $1 million.
I want to square it.
Yeah. Oh no, somebody need to beat his ass. But that's the thing, is that like, once you get, so like, if you're just paper chasing, then you're untouchable. We just allow, like, oh, it's okay. That's just what he wants to do. In the name of capitalism, we're giving you a pass. And with these billionaires, like, you get to a point that accruing that much is straight sociopathology. Like, you're only focused on that and nothing else, and everybody else be damned. And you see very few people who can say, you know what, I'm going to make an exception this time, and I'm going to do the right thing, or I'm going to house people, clothe people. And we've been saying for the longest time, they don't have to. It's their money. I'd be damned if somebody tell me how I'm going to spend my money. Okay, but that's what taxes are for, so the system doesn't fall apart. And now we're watching the system fall apart, and we ain't been collecting on people. We have not been collecting on any of the biggest corporations. They've been dodging it. And, like, there was a guy whose whole platform was running on it. He was like, listen, if we get the money from the billionaires that we're supposed to get, then we'll have the system shored up so everybody can have health care. Everybody can have good schools. We don't have these, because these things are all connected, right? We could pay for student loans. All these, and this, the lie that we can't afford it. That lie got exposed in like 10 minutes. It was minute 10 of the whole COVID crisis was like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get the money from? And then the government was like, here's $1.5 trillion. I was, wait, where are we? What? Where did that come from? We just pulled that out of thin air because it's not real. So we just...
I was going to say, and then it makes you, and I can see that making people question the concept of money is not real then. Because how can you say, oh, we can't give money to this cause. We can't help, we have to pull money from this one resource to give towards, you know, war or something else or whatever else they deem important at that point in time. And then all of a sudden,
they just have $780 billion for the Space Force. Niggas gotta go to space. We gotta go to space right now. And it's people sick as hell right here. Lungs on fire. But we got spaceships.
Because we just want to go ahead and make sure we can fight anything that might be possible.
You can't even fight this virus. So what are you really doing?
You think about the fight? You about to fight some other?
Yeah, like what if they don't try to fight a conventional war? What if they just use biological warfare? We know your weakness, dumbass. Like, you got to do something, and we just don't cover our bases. But that's when you have extreme. You got extreme wealth and extreme poverty, and America doesn't want to accept the fact that they're poor. 99%.
I think that saying that said a meme. I saw it was like, America is a third world country wrapped in a Gucci belt. Yeah. And I was cracking up because I'm like, it's so many facts. I mean, and think about, like, of course, again, becoming an adult, looking at, I'm a woman, maternity leave, how our policies compare to, and even, not even like the, whatever, how our policies compare to other countries and other programs and stuff they had in place for parents. And which, again, contributes back to what I was saying earlier, too. How can I have a relationship with my child? Most households need to have two incomes to survive, right? Or depending on what kind of lifestyle you may want, I should say, too. But, you know, say for the most part, just to do decent, to pay off student loans alone. So you may need two incomes. And you may not. You could be a single parent. But if you are, what's the word I'm looking for? If you are gone or on maternity leave for 6 days, 6 weeks, some company I heard even have a week, but you know, now at least say 6 weeks at the very minimum. How is that bonding with your child before you have to take them to go somewhere else? How is that allowing for you to have relationships and things like that, where these other countries have, and they have a higher quality of life because they just feel satisfied Because we, again, the reason why people are still jumping off bridges and harming themselves and not happy and going completing suicide and things like that that are just unfortunate and sad and still have money is because money is still not tied to happiness as much as we try to our country tries to make it seem. And in the pursuit of this so-called happiness and this pursuit for all this wealth and this money is killing it's killing people. It's making them unhealthy, it's making them mentally unwell, it's making them physically unwell. And I just think about how we've been told we're the greatest, we're the greatest, we're the greatest. I think this is a wake-up call that if we do want to be the greatest, there's work to be done and it needs to happen. Like it can't no more resources being pulled from making it happen. Like now the proof is in the pudding. They were taking prevention funding and public health funding. They've been dwindling that down for years now. And then you turn around and be like, all right, CDC, why don't you have this? All right, whatever, NIH and whoever else, why don't you have this? Y'all been taking resources. And that's every government administration, it ain't just Trump's. There's been Obama's been our everybody's hero and everybody else too. This has been, I lost a job because of Obama's administration. Now it's more, it's deeper. It's not like he himself was like, yo, let's go ahead and cut the public health funding. But the point is, every administration, you can point the fingers at whoever. And the point is, all the powers that be, you know what I'm saying, have played a part, or someone in their camp has played a part in reducing some of these essential things. And then you want to turn around and say, well, we should be world leaders. We're the best. Best at what? And I'm not even trying to sound unpatriotic, for lack of a better word. But the thing is, you know, there's just so much opportunity and room for our country and potential for our country to be great if people will live in reality, in reality too. Like we are in la la land. We're duped. We're making excuses for, like you said, billionaires and everything else because, again, you have money. That's crazy. If you are that smart, why aren't you there? Why aren't you rich or whatever the saying
It's
is? Like
part of
that's
it.
crazy.
It's
That
all
explains a
the
lot.
formula. Like you need people to be caught up in this matrix, so to speak, to just in order for it to work. Because like why are
That's
you
true.
like it's the corporate ladder.
Because people stop caring. Oh, yeah. If you stop
Yeah,
caring, what
exactly.
will happen?
If you
Things will
don't go to
crumble.
work and you see that, like if you just don't go, if Amazon workers just decide they're not going to work altogether, then it's done. Everything
The packages I got today will be
That's
the
it.
last
Yeah,
packages.
exactly. Like everything, and there
The
goes your toilet paper. There's hold on. What did
same.
it's John Steinbeck that said, socialism never took root in America because the poor see themselves not as exploited proletariat, but as temporarily embarrassed millionaires.
Oh my gosh, that's wild. That's wild. Because you
Yeah,
do
like
think you
is
have a
that's
chance,
the
right?
you
Like
know you
you.
got the lotto, you got who you got all these shows on TV, but you're always keeping up with the Kardashians and.
You have one or two stories that aren't always fully accurate. I mean, sometimes they are, but sometimes they aren't fully accurate too. They talk about how they someone pulled themselves up by the imaginary bootstraps and got there. They don't tell you about everything else that happened, you know, as a part of them being able or what little resources support they may have had prior to it sometimes. But I mean, there's some quote unquote self-made, not saying there aren't, but those they dangle those stories in front of us so you can continue to ignore your current conditions that are not right and that are unfair because like it makes sense. He said, I'm temporarily embarrassed, right? I'm a whatever. I'll be a millionaire in a minute. I'm
Oh, no.
this is
Just
all
this is my
temporary.
hard time. We got to go through struggle to. I think that's part of like, that's the appeal of so many things. That's the appeal of rap music. That's the appeal of rags to riches. You know, everything is that. Like we used to eat noodles every day, and now we got steak. You know, and you can do it too. And all these people telling you that. So, but if you ever, when do you accrue so when you accrue so much, it's like, okay, what are you doing with the money? And yeah, a lot of it is tied up. A lot of it is it's tied up into making more money. But how much is enough? At what point do you not need any more money? Like you can't even spend the money that you have on this. So like you bought all the property, you bought all of the nice stuff. They don't even make, you know, new nice stuff anymore for you that you don't have already. You're running out of space. What are you gonna do? I think they had you'll notice like at first. You know, the first week of the quarantine, all the like hyper rich people and some wealthy people were singing songs, and they were, it'll be okay, we'll get through this, and this, all this, and they're, we're gonna pray and we're gonna do all this stuff. And it's after about the first week, people start realizing, wait a minute, every one of these videos we're watching are of you in your 19-room mansion. Like, why don't you
invite me to come over and
yeah,
see
like,
what you
mean. Why don't you help out? And I, no, I'm gonna pray on it.
Wait, and then hold on, and then turn around. We'll say, y'all, let's raise.
Yeah, money. Yeah. You know what we need to do? If we all gave to this cause right here that I'm giving you a link to donate, then you can do it. Well, wait. Hold on, Rich. Now, why don't you just pay for it? You and your boys. Like, why don't you just get the, y'all be talking about
Peter. Get your five close friends.
What happened to Billionaire Boys Club? I ain't heard shit from the Billionaire Boys Club this entire time. See, people, the thing that about this was that 3 weeks ago, a month, 3 weeks to a month ago, my timeline was completely different. It was black men my age who apparently made their first $40,000 to $50,000 and all became moderate white men. I really don't respect that shit at all. They completely now are, they know how to get rich using the stock market and all this. They got their first Robin Hood account and can swear up and down that they're going to be rich tomorrow. And they basically were Republicans. Like, yo, this is how we do it. This is how they get the money, and we're gonna do the same thing. And I'm like, man, you're really just ignoring like 100 years of history that says that this is going to exclude you fundamentally, right? Like, you're just going to ignore all that. You just, okay, well, all right, good luck then. And I'm watching them argue this thing, go to bat for people. Like, oh well, Jay-Z did it, so he's gonna do it. All the different conversations I had to go through about, like, Jay-Z ain't thinking about your ass. Anything that he does, and I'm the biggest music Jay-Z fan there is. Nobody has, I can tell you any word for word, every song, everything musically, but that's where it stops, because again, billionaire Jay-Z is just like every other billionaire. Anything that he's doing, that's got some kind of edge to it. I'm not just doing this just to do it. I'm doing this because this is going to help me and make me get some more money. And the football thing and all, oh, we're going to make an NFL deal and all this. Like, well, he's got all these different things and resources for people to do. Yeah, you know who had all those same resources and a whole camp for that? Colin Kaepernick. Oh, well, it's not. But people don't, they just go with the name recognition and the money, and he's going to save us and he's going to do it. But okay, all them same people right now who was telling me that,
because he has more money than Colin, and that's why we've been idolizing him.
All them same people a month ago that was telling me about their 401ks and how Trump wasn't that bad because look at my 401k and Jay-Z was going to fix it and all. Okay, I'll tell you two things that have been, it's not, I don't like it. I want to say this, like, it doesn't make me happy. But this is the only way people learn. And I've just had to ask, how is your 401k? And number two, where's Jay-Z?
I hope that people sit down and allow themselves to think. Discover what you like. Discover what your own thoughts. Discover what your family likes if you're fortunate to be, you know, around family or anything at this time. But sit with your thoughts. Heal some demons. Figure some things out. The constant busyness and the constant things to take away soberness from yourself, drinking, smoking, whatever. And I'm not judging anybody about that, just I don't really care that much. But I said it to say, take some time to be sober and sit in your thoughts and reflect. We don't get that much time to do that. You can carve out the time under normal circumstances, but people don't choose to because, again, we're taught to be so busy. Do that. I hope everybody survives. I hope that everybody comes out of this a better person, and I hope that You know, families are strong again. Make families better again. Make community, helping one another. Leave some tissue for somebody, okay? Leave a pack of tissue for somebody. Leave some wipes for somebody. Like, care about others as well. Everybody doesn't have the same means and resources. And I hate to see the ugly coming out, the ugly side coming out of people. And I know people go into survival mode too, but some of this is not just survival mode. It's pure selfishness. And I just hope that we can learn to care and depend on each other, you know, again, to know your neighbor, stay 6 feet away from them, but get to know your neighbor, know who they are, look out for those that you can if you're able to. More importantly, you know, don't take some time as well away. Give yourself a COVID-19 hiatus or fast. Give yourself a break from it too, because it's easy to become overwhelmed with this stuff.
You ain't heard from ever since this shit started. We ain't seen nothing. Parents,
yo,
you ain't
heard.
He got little so fast. That's just like, oh, no.
Oh, no, don't forget. Him and Rihanna are giving.
Rihanna been out there.
Rihanna been out there, period.
But she ain't a billionaire. She knows him. I think right. She had one. Oh, no, is that Janet? One of them had a billion.
From the, he was, I can't remember the term, somewhere over like Middle East, but.
When you're like a top 10 woman of the world, you can have whatever you want. Like, yeah, and again, you know, right. You could Cleopatra your way in and you know, take over the fortune. Like Meg did the same thing. Meghan Markle, same thing. She, you know, kill a game, take right. over, but they got out. Those are probably the only real heroes in the whole shit. Like, oh wow, you just said no. You said
you really walked,
you know,
away
and Dave Chappelle, and it came out better for it.
Well, and think about it too, though. But they tell us and warn us and tell us like there's reasons why people want to leave and escape, because it's not all cracked up with what you think it is. Like, there's more behind the scenes going on than what. And I ain't just talking about this Illuminati stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot. There's other things that go against who you are as a person, your integrity, that you may have to do or want you to do. I mean, I'm just a freaking manager at a job, right? And I think about, I haven't really been in any compromising positions now, but I've witnessed people at different companies just through my professional career where you've been put in, you can be put at even at this lower level of just making a little $50,000 to $100,000 salary, that you can be put in a position that's almost compromising your integrity for the sake of the company or for the sake of whatever case, for the sake of to keep your job and keep your money. If that happens at that smaller level where you don't even have as much, or you have a lot of stake because you don't lose a job, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but say on a grand scheme of losing mm-hmm. money, the amount of money, you don't have that much, you don't, that's little in comparison or in terms of stake wise. You can't tell me that little Joe Blow at AutoZone, who's a manager, gets put in positions periodically that he has to consider compromising integrity. So, you know, you can't tell me that's not happening at this higher level. Like, you can't tell me that's not happening with this pursuit of I want more money or I want to maintain my status, because you can't. And also, too, think about it, too. Then it becomes a race and a competition. So say, for instance, you somehow just, you did everything right. You somehow became a billionaire. You didn't do anything wrong ethically at all.
Right.
But now you want to keep it because everybody now knows you as being a billionaire. And if you are sociopathic and only caring and with a little bit of narcissism tied into there, if you really care what everybody thinks about you and what your reputation is and all that stuff like that, then who wants to lose their place? Yeah. Who wants to lose their place? I don't know if it was facts or not, but I remember seeing something about like J.K. Rowling, how she kept falling off the billionaire.
Yeah,
she kept giving the chair.
Well, I know.
And I always said, like, I don't know if I would be able to maintain being a billionaire if I was, because I think I would be giving too much. Which is like, will I ever be a billionaire? Because I might not.
Right. So, yeah. No, I know for a fact she'd be giving money though. She'd be looking out. See, if something she see you struggling or something, she's like, oh no, you got it, and then she just hook it up. She actually hooked up a friend.
Where is it?
Yeah, she hooked a friend up.
Really? Hold on. Where's your boy? What she? Wait, wait. I'm sorry. I was about to
No,
put you up.
no,
Tell me about
no.
that real quick, and I gotta ask
That
you
was
about
just a.
where
Oh,
her window is.
that's another one.
Where you at? I ain't gonna lie. The marketing flyers is cute. I was like,
Yeah,
okay, because you don't have marketing. So I'm like, this was real. What? I thought it was cute,
you know,
but.
so you know how vocal I was anti Bloomberg and for the 2 weeks he was running or whatever. Like that,
23 hours he ran
his
all
whole
day.
purpose was to try to subvert Bernie Sanders. Like, hey, look, guys, remember capitalism? Look. He spent 500, and this was a really telling thing. So he spent $550 million in yeah,
In
in
23
advertising.
days. I'm
It
making up the
yeah
number. I'm
yeah
making
in
up the number, but
advertising
right.
for running for president. And he had a campaign headquarters in it wasn't the headquarters, but he had a campaign office in Flint, Michigan. And on Twitter, the Flint office had posted a video, like a picture of somebody spray painting, like graffitiing up the office. And it was like, eat the rich. That's what it was. And they was on Twitter playing the victim or whatever. And everybody kept, you know, looking like, damn, that's crazy. Where's this at? And they're like, Flint, Michigan. Okay, yeah, man, damn, well, graffiti is wrong and we shouldn't. Yeah, and eat the rich. I mean, maybe that's a little harsh, but damn, where did you say this was again? Flint, Michigan. Okay, yeah, all right, yeah, because Flint is. Yeah,
But
and then
ain't
finally
got
it
no
was like, wait
clean
a
water,
second.
but okay.
Did you say Flint, Michigan, where they got lead in the water pipes? Like, for real? And you
Come
spent
on, come on.
550 minutes. So then they did the math on it. And it would cost like $53 or $54 million to fix the pipes. And so he spent 11 times that much running for president, not
Getting
doing anything,
anything.
getting one. He got one electoral vote, one from American Samoa. He just inundated them with ads. He got one vote, quit, and threw his support behind Biden. He could have fixed the pipes 11
Man, he
times,
could have
and
fixed the
he had
pipes.
the audacity to set up a campaign headquarters there in Flint, Michigan. It's a wonder they didn't kill him. It's a wonder they didn't kill all the people involved. All they did was spray paint, eat the rich. But this is we're so con we're conditioned to be like, wow, we're just going to tolerate that. We're just going to let you do that because
It's
he's,
because he's rich. And we know the rich don't care about us
yeah.
already,
And then
so
they
he'll
just
put
and then
them
he just
in.
walked away. And then, oh yeah, well, Bloomberg's gonna he oh, I can't tell you how many dumbass black people were sitting up there trying to tell me what Bloomberg's plan for black people was. And I was like, Bloomberg's plan for black people is the same plan he has for that he had for black people in New York, but for specifically for people in general. He don't care about you. He does not give a fuck about you. He doesn't.
Where I'm like, is he built? Is he doing something now,
His
even for this COVID stuff?
campaign staff didn't get paid. He laid them off.
Oh shit! So he didn't even. Oh,
Yeah,
and he was paying people like
and as it was over,
75,000, maybe.
he was up. Yep,
Soon
the
as he
hell with
walked,
y'all. So people,
so they got paid maybe $5,000 because the
yeah.
again it was a
So
23 hour
I could pull this
campaign.
up right
So.
now. Yeah, like Bloomberg's campaign staff, like that whole thing, they're mad as hell. He trumped them basically, like. But that's how,
Wow.
again, behind every great fortune is a great crime. This is how you stay hyper rich, is that you got to stiff a lot of people, you know? Like all the stuff they dig into Trump on. So a lot of people didn't get paid.
I didn't even think about that.
Let me see.
And then this is a time that they're unemployed, that
Yep.
they may have not even landed a job yet. Because this came is back to back.
This is actually a hilarious article. Shortly before the world ended, Mike Bloomberg was running for president. yeah, that's a good, yeah. The billionaire self-funded campaign was a Shangri-La for employees who received record high salaries and perks beyond belief. A January Politico piece detailed the Robin Leach style spectacle, blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, as with so many lifestyles of rich and famous, Elizabeth Warren came along and ruined everything. Bloomberg's presidential ambitions are all over, and instead of sushi, his former campaign staff will have to settle for egg noodles and ketchup. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg fired everyone in early March, despite mm-hmm. having promised most of them employment at $6,000 a month through at least November. He graciously allowed them to keep their iPhones mm-hmm. and MacBooks. So he didn't pay them the rest okay. of the money that he promised to pay them through November. He just put their ass on unemployment out the gate because he's not running anymore. Mm. And again, he has the money.
He could have just said, thank you for just trying to have it to take a chance on this yeah. 1 hour campaign and yeah. you're good for the rest of the
You spent $550 million on advertising and you don't want to pay out the six grand for employees. But it just goes to show you that it's a machine at some point. Yeah, it's Bloomberg, but he might not have even done the firings himself. Mm-hmm. Capitalism demands that you cut costs at every corner. Mm-hmm. This is how we're going to maximize on this. So somebody mm-hmm. did it. And but again, the system itself is what is flawed. The system itself is what is flawed. And the people who are in charge of the system, mm-hmm. when you bring it to their attention, they just act like you're not talking to them. They just, what? No. Otherwise, I wouldn't be wealthy then. I'm not doing that. So what's the magic number? Is it? It's obviously not 1 billion. Is it 2 billion?
So where do you think the threshold? Well, after you tell me a story, tell me where you think the threshold of or where you teeter between becoming a sociopath. Like, is it?
I don't know where it is. I know. It's whenever.
Do you turn into? Are you one? No. Do you think that you're born this way? Or do you turn into one on your pursuit
definitely, to it's, becoming a business? It's a system.
Because it probably chisels away.
You don't. You have to, like I say, it's a lifestyle. It's a mindset. It becomes an obsession. It becomes obsessive compulsive. It's for real. It's sociopathic. Like you get whenever you snap and you say, this is all I care about. You know, everybody got a weird, you know,
yeah,
story. But like, again, there's professional athletes that make hundreds of millions of dollars in their career and they never get to be billionaires. You know, I absolutely loathe knowing people's net worth. I hate looking it up. I don't know. That's just weird to me. But trying to prove, like somebody threw out some names. I was like, billionaires aren't even who you think they are. You don't even know who they are. And then, no. Like LeBron James, a billionaire. I'm like, no, he's not.
I was gonna ask you about that. They said his career earnings.
No, well,
the 1 billion mark. So it's just how much he's earned over his career.
So I Googled it the other day because I hate stuff like that. But I Googled it the other day and he was $600 million. So he's not even a billionaire. Mm-hmm. Jordan for the longest time. I remember Jordan was hovering around a billion for like 5 years. It was so funny. He was hovering around a billion. He got divorced. It took him down to like 500 or 600. He got back to like a billion. He hovered around there for a long time. And then I remember it was like early 2010s or something. Jordan was like, took his whole life to get there, $1 billion. And I looked up Michael Jordan. He was at 2.1. I'm like, that's insane. That's insane that it doubled that fast. The same thing with Bezos. The same thing with him. Like he was the world's richest man at 150 billion, and then it became like, you know, it was like, oh, he's at 100 billion. Okay, well, he's at 120. Wait, what? He's at 160. Wait, what just happened? Like it had been like a month, because your money is making money for you and becomes a machine at some point, and then you get the argument. Well, even if he gave away all his money, it would crash all our system. It's like, why did we let him get that much money in the first place?
Because
if he pulled, he has so much money invested in different places and infrastructure and things just for Amazon that if he pulled it, again, my argument to that, or, you know, it's not even an argument. The truth to that is that it's all fake anyway. So why doesn't he just spend his fake money on fixing real shit? Like, I always don't understand. I just don't understand that. Like, why, when Bernie Sanders was up there telling people we just need to reduce the military budget, and we can have free college for everybody. Like, why was that completely unacceptable? But then when they need ventilators, the first thing they go to is the Pentagon. How am I missing this? Help me understand this. Why don't we have, oh, well, we need to, I'm not going to enact the DPA so people don't, they don't have to make ventilators. We need ventilators. People are saying that Cuomo every day is begging people on Twitter, send us help, please send us stuff. We need supplies. We need these things. We need ventilators. And now they're forced to buy them. And what's crazy about that part of the machine is that we actually ship supplies to other countries and now have to buy them back. Now you got to buy them back from China and buy them back from Russia. You know, it's crazy. They originated here, go somewhere else because of the machine, and then you got to buy them back at a markup. And then you need a bailout from taxpayers to fund it. That is insanity when you could just tell, you know, Elon Musk, that's another guy that's like, he's going to save us. He said like 2 weeks ago he was going to get on the ventilators. That shit ain't happened. Meanwhile, people making all these masks and doing this. Yeah. He's not doing it. They're not going to. They're focused on what they – he want to go to space. He making rockets. He want people to be able to ride to the moon and back.
Right. Do you think that this scenario is going to change people's perspectives then about billionaires and the desire to what's the name? What's the word I'm looking for? You know, the desire to want to be a billionaire, or just thinking, or just putting them on a pedestal. At least even people are going to still want to be a billionaire, but you know, but wanting, because what they think about is just the access to resources. Like most poor people, people who come from poverty or just the underdogs, you know, we aren't rich. We middle class, and you know, included, we want to have experience freedom, open. Forgive me here, sir. But
somebody woke up.
Sorry, y'all. But I wanted to, yeah. But what's the word I'm looking for? The how am I trying to say? Like for me, finances will just bring about a freedom of, if I don't have to deal with a job that I feel like I have to compromise my integrity for, then I have the choice, right? Like I have the choice to, if I want to be a social worker and help people, I can do this without having to worry about being possibly losing a house or stuff like that, which is what most people start off. I think that's where the desire comes from at first. But then after that, you know, will that change how people put them on the pedestal? I don't know. I mean, I would hope so, because this is very clear. Again, like you said, if you could spend that much money, come set up a campaign. I'm just using my Wilmer again as an example. Come set up a campaign office right there in the middle of it. Like, imagine how transformative that could have been if he would just pay for the pipes and everything else to fixed.
He could have spent one-tenth of what he spent fixing the pipes and been famous. For you,
you would have that fan base.
You would have Michigan. That voters base. I won Michigan because I fit. Okay. That's what, if I was a billionaire, like a hyper billionaire, that's what I would. I would just go around like, and I wanted to be president. What do you think, you guys? What do you?
That's
need?
What I'm saying.
What do you need?
That's what
you need. Oh,
and that's what I'm saying. Like you could do it for self-serving purposes, and the fact that you won is always is interesting. Like. You could do those things because your end goal could be, I want to be the president.
That's my point. My point altogether is that in order to even get to a billion, you're already fucking insane. Because to do that, the sensible things that you need for everyone else, the sensible stuff for life around you, to be able to fix it, you're just so disconnected that you don't even consider that. That's not even a consideration. I could just make a fight. No, I'm gonna spend 10 times that amount of money trying to be president and then throwing that shit in 2 weeks. I'm gonna be like, nah, I'm good.
Okay. And that shows the privilege you have too, in a sense of like, I remember, you know, we talk about different forms of privilege in general. And I remember even like I was with some white coworkers and they were talking about how they didn't know about some other stories that we knew, like even once someone should even know about Emmett Till and stuff like that. And I was like, that in a sense is a privilege that you don't even have to know about it. Like it didn't have to be a part of your history lesson because it didn't really affect you, or even if it's perpetrated by people who look like you or anything like that, like you still didn't have to.
You don't have to process know
about
it at all.
You know what I mean? And I think that you don't have to process. You don't have to realize all the atrocious stories, which is why people think that people are complaining for no reason, of course, when people talk about, you know, certain things that are happening, especially around race relations. But then when it comes to me, it's almost a similar thing when it comes to an individual being a super wealthy as well, too. Like, you can hear a news story. You can know these things are going on. I mean, now they know about these things going on because, of course, the first thing they can think about is, what solution can I come up with that can make me money?
Right.
Like, my man's with the hospital, like, you know, oh, y'all in dire need. I can make money from this. Or you could just kind of be like,
Near
my level, so okay. And not really think about it ever again in life. And that's why you might be like, why didn't you give to this? Don't you hear about this? Don't you know about this? And it's like,
how removed,
or I didn't hear about it.
How removed do you have to be from society to own a vacant hospital with 500 beds and then just not think to open it up? And then when they actually knock on your door and say, hey, man, can you open the hospital up? To be like, no, I'm good. What? What? That's what I'm saying. It's laughable. It's laughable. It's not funny. I just fucked up, but it's laughable. Nah. It's laughable. Like, my nigga, that's really? Really? Like, you ain't. Have you heard the news? People are dying by the thousands. And we need.
Yeah, my man is like.
Exactly. What's your man got to do with me? That mindset is truly psychotic. That cannot be. That's why people argue me about that again, because again, they think that they're going to one day accrue such vast wealth and fortune, and good for them. Like, okay.
Well, and again, I think that people have good intentions and don't realize, again, like to your point, things happen. You sell your soul, quote unquote, little by little. A lot of times you're not things, you know, things may not always be blatant where you have to go, you know, kill someone to do something. You have to do something so egregious, or, you know, something so outright or outlandish that you think is like, oh, I would never do that. But little subtle things, like you say, even thinking about if you're using child workers or enslavement or people over in other countries and paying them 2 cents an hour or whatever the case is, like those things add up eventually. And if you're a fool, if you think that it's going to just come that easy because you have good intentions, and it doesn't mean that people aren't wealthy or rich. And I mean, and it might be some cases. I don't know them right now. Nothing's coming to mind, but I'm sure your listeners will chime in with whoever they think is exempt from all this. Yeah, like little do you know, some of the other. And then some things we don't know. And that's another thing too. Some are very good at hiding or covering up or whatever because they have the means to. The things that they have to do to, like you said, whether it's just bad business practices, whether it's just buying like the competitors out, things like that. Like the way you message things and put things out too matters. If you're a little man and I come and bogard you for your business, and you know I bogarted you,
right?
So guess what we're about to say in this press release? We're about to make it seem like
you know who I'll say
in a way. So
does a good job, and I'll give you two examples. The bad job, the trash job, the person that everybody always loves no matter what, but actually doesn't do shit, Oprah. That's Oprah. You ain't heard from Oprah. You're not going to hear from Oprah. They had her trending on Twitter a couple weeks ago talking about some crazy story and somebody robbed her and all that. And she was like, get my name about the streets because none of that happened. And we ain't heard from her since. Okay? She didn't even want her name trending for fake reasons on Twitter. Don't even think about it. I've disappeared. I'm not thinking about y'all broke asses. All right. That's one. But on the good side, I will say, because there's always going to be some exceptions to the rule. Mark Cuban, he actually, when the NBA shut down, he's going to do it because he's Mark Cuban and he has it. He's in the spotlights on him. But I love how the NBA handled everything, period. Adam Silver basically became the de facto president of the United States by canceling basketball. And then everybody else had to, like, adjust.
Follows. Yeah, because if the NBA did it, I thought, I was like, oh, I know
Mark Madden. They was trying. They was working around it all the way up until Adam Silver kind of put the pressure on everybody. But Mark Cuban going out there and saying, I'm going, if I have to pay it out of my pocket, I'm going to pay all the workers, all the arena people, all this stuff. Y'all going to get y'all regular checks. I'm going to make sure it happens. That applied pressure where all the other teams eventually, even the Bulls eventually fell in line and said, you know what? We're going to make sure the workers get paid what they normally get because this isn't fair to them. This ain't nobody.
I hope this time in this situation also helps you to not envy and be jealous of what you think folks who have accumulated all of this wealth. Don't be jealous of them. Don't envy what they have or what you think they have or appear to have. Money doesn't equal happiness. And I know it's a cliche saying and an old saying, but you can see for the ones that actually care with, you know, an extreme amount of wealth, the ones who are actually putting out, you know, important fires, the ones who are help coming to our aid to do, you know, those are people with integrity and morals and they care. You may think that aspiring to be the richest person on earth is the best goal, and I can't tell you what you should aspire to be, but just know that there are some costs, and if you are willing to you know, lose some integrity and do things like that, then go right on ahead. But that's no longer my goal, and I had to have a wake-up call about a year or two ago that the money chase, money's still important to make things happen. You said, but at the end of the day, as we could see, it's all not real. It's all one big facade. So, you know, let your motivation be about something else. And definitely don't envy these folks because you see where you stand in their life at this point in time. Should have saw it before this, but we definitely see it now. Nobody foresaw this coming and thinking it. In the fast, like I said, in the fast turnaround, like, it's not even like companies with the economic crisis before. I mean, some probably had to let you go immediately for different things, but it was a gradual process, right? It was a gradual process in which you might possibly lose your job, or you did lose your job or whatever. We just heard, I mean, this thing, we heard about this thing kind of February-ish. I remember that because my husband had to go to a conference in California.
Right.
Hell no, I don't want him. Because they didn't even have, I don't think they even told us the name of it yet. They just kept saying this weird, you know, weird, like flu, like respiratory illness is happening. Yeah, this virus, they didn't even officially call it coronavirus at the time. And I was just praying, like, oh my goodness, he gone. I'm pregnant because I was supposed to go with him, but I'm in my last trimester, so flying was out of the question. But I was like, man, you know, Lord, we don't know what this mysterious thing is. Let him hurry and get home because they kept talking about being in California and Washington at the point in time. And when, so just thinking about hearing from it then, and it still wasn't super hyped up. It was like, there's this weird thing happening, but it wasn't on the news every 5 minutes. It was, you know, one of the news stories, but you did keep hearing a little bit. You're like, what is this? It's a little concerning. But by the time it got big in March, it was, people lost their jobs the next day. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't think that, you didn't think,
well, so
you
one thing about
time. Like, you didn't know. And I get the difference. Yeah. I mean, it's a virus that's passable, so people are going to be like, you know, or contagious if they think. So, you know, so the thing is, like, you gotta let people go because they can't be in certain.
So industries, that's guess, part of the system too. Like, great. We don't have news. We have entertainment. So our news didn't care until it affected America because nothing. We don't care about anything. And then,
that's when the other part too. Yeah, until it hurts us. We can't tell you what's going on in another country half the time. We can't. Your average American cannot tell you the current form of currency. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, either. And so
the war is happening. They don't
when
know
you and when you and just for the record, when you go to other countries, like I tell anybody who will listen, we was in Toronto for 5 days. It was a completely different everything. Okay, we was there. The news is literally what you get taught in journalism: who, what, when, where, why, and you move on to the next part. Dry as hell. It ain't no pundits. Yeah, it ain't no arguing about what you think. They don't go to Twitter and ask people's opinions. They don't do none of that. They report the news. They move on and they get back to TV. And that's it. This is factual stuff. You get the paper. Paper has what happened the day before in it. That's what it was. And so that. And I had asked the guy too when I was One of the things, and I'll probably have to do a whole show on this, but when you do ride sharing as like a Lyft or an Uber driver, like you learn everything about people.
I bet.
They just talk, just man. Talk. And just talk Buddy was talking. From India originally, but had moved to Houston, and he was on a work trip in Chicago. And he was telling me about different things. And I said, "Well, where are you from?" He said, "Well, from India." Well, I didn't ask, but he was talking about it. I said, "Well, where did you get that from?" I said, "I'm from India." And I said, "Okay, cool." And I said, "Oh, but you came from Houston." He was like, yeah. And then he said that, but America's crazy because X, Y, Z, and then blah, blah, blah. And he was going on and on and on. And I was like, "So wait a minute. So for work, you were coming from Houston. How long have you been here?" And he was like, "Well, before this, I lived in Toronto." And I was like, "Oh, okay. That's cool." So I said, "Toronto's dope. I love Toronto, blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "You know what the biggest difference between like Canada, but the rest of the world too, but Canada and America is?" And I was like, "What?" He's like, the one thing that's different here that is different than everywhere else, it's your news. Your news isn't real." And when he said that, he looked like, I'm driving. I'm looking in the rearview mirror, looking back there. And he said, "You know," he's like really into it. He pointed at things. He's like, "You know what it is? It's your news. Your news isn't real." Mm-hmm. And when that was the first time, this had to be like 2016, 17. No, this had to be like 2015. But this was the first time I had ever heard fake news. Because he didn't say fake news. He just said, "Your news isn't real." And I was like,
"Isn't real."
Right. He's right.